An influential company will now allow employees to take disputes to court. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Google has agreed to end forced arbitration. If you want to work at a company, you might have to take any dispute to arbitration outside the regular court system. As for Google, this will be for employees, not contractors, and it's in response to pressure from Google workers who believe arbitration helps companies bury sexual misconduct cases. But Google's move is about harassment cases and more. David Knoll is associate professor at Rutgers Law in New Jersey and an expert in these matters.
This is a step beyond that. Google is saying that it's not going to require employees to arbitrate any disputes whatsoever.
Now, the situation at Google may not represent what's going on more widely about arbitration in the economy. More companies these days are requiring arbitration as a condition of employment?
Our best estimate is that about half of the private sector workforce is subject to a mandatory arbitration provision. And it's important to keep in mind that Google is really kind of an exceptional employer. Google employees are uniquely informed and well-organized. And so they were able to put pressure on the company to force it to change the way that it handles legal disputes. So there's an interesting dynamic here where, on the one hand, employees at tech companies are having success persuading companies to drop arbitration, where on the other hand, other major employers are increasing their use of arbitration.
Professor David Knoll, Rutgers Law, thank you so much for the briefing.
My pleasure.
The Mobile World Congress starts in Barcelona, Spain, on Monday. It is the world's largest trade show devoted to phones, and it's going to be full of talk of super-fast 5G wireless, folding screens, and some very high-priced phones. Marketplace's Jack Stewart has more.
Next week is going to be so packed with hot phone debuts that Samsung got a jump on it with an event this week to show the Galaxy Fold, which opens like a book.
You can simply unfold your phone to see all the details on the bigger screen.
A warm reception until the price.
Starting from $1,980, depending on your region and carrier.
That is the sound of sticker shock. Julie Ask is a mobile analyst with Forrester Research.
I could get a tablet, a smartphone, and a laptop for $2,000.
Of course, the price of any new tech starts high and then drops. But new phones are going to be faster with 5G connections. Cameras will support virtual reality, and artificial intelligence chips might even help stop spam calls. If all that sounds useful to you, well, it comes at a cost, says Leslie Raubor at the Consumer Technology Association.
I think we'll see prices continue to increase slightly, especially as a lot more technologies become embedded in these devices.
So maybe just make sure to buy a really good case, too. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
Not everyone gets a chance to study the economy in school. Anyway, who doesn't need a brush up? Marketplace helps you continue your education in a way that we hope is smart, accessible, and hopefully even a bit fun. Your donation is not only an investment in your own learning, but also in helping us make more people smart about the economy. And that, we think, is good for everyone. To learn how you can help, visit marketplace.org/investors. Thank you. Scientists take climate change seriously. Politicians, well, often depends on their worldview. What about people making big decisions about money? Economists have been studying this, and Marketplace's senior economics contributor has been reading in. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
So money folks are taking climate change into account?
Very seriously. And that's the conclusion of a recently published paper. It's by two economists from Columbia University. They took this very clever way to see if traders are incorporating climate change predictions into their weather forecasts. Now, you might not know this, but there are futures contracts about the future weather traded on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. And these contracts are for 8 cities, including where you are, New York, and where I am, Minneapolis, St. Paul. And you make bets on cooling days and heating degree days.
All right, financial bets. Now, who plays in a market like this?
Well, you know, for some industries, weather can play a big role on their revenue. You know, think agribusiness or utilities. So the futures market lets them hedge against Mother Nature. So the scholars compared bets that were made from 2002 through 2008 with predictions in the climate models. And the bottom line, David, the market is pricing in climate change. When money's at risk, people are anticipating climate trends in line with the scientific consensus.
So interesting. But I mean, this is a bit of an esoteric piece of the market. What about regular mortals like you, me, my sister, your uncle? I mean, are we making similar pricing decisions?
We are. How about residential real estate? Now, there's a study from Harvard University last year, and it looked at Miami-Dade County in Florida, single-family homes. And what they found is that single-family homes are rising in value more slowly near sea level compared to homes at higher elevations. And this makes sense. Again, the fear is with global climate change, there could reach a point where that home at sea level could be submerged. It's going to be hard to sell at that point.
Overall, you're saying that what's happening in these esoteric financial markets may be a lesson for the rest of us?
Well, you know, these Columbia University scholars, they end their study with this thought, David, and I really like this. They said, you don't believe in global climate change? Okay. Bet against it in the futures market. Now, my guess is when money's on the line, many people are not going to bet against the scientific consensus.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell, speaking from very far away from the coast, St. Paul, Minnesota. Chris, thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
The benchmark 10-year interest rate at the moment is down 2.657 for the 10-year Treasury yield. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.